Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, dot, dot, verses 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Michael, for reading the scripture for us this morning. We are so excited to have everyone here instead of saying you have to go to your class now. And so we have something different for you, all right? So if you want to move around a bit, feel free, because this is a family worship service. And if you feel I'm going too long, let me know, but hopefully not. This morning, we want to talk about becoming kids in God's kingdom. Whether you're young or old, it's a good thing to be not childish, but to be like a child, okay? So we've just read this part of Matthew where Jesus' disciples came and asked him a question. These are men who have spent probably almost 2 years living with Jesus. They have watched him. Jesus taught them. They saw Jesus preach and heal people and even raise dead people back to life. And, of course, Jesus asked them to do the same. So you'd expect these to be very mature men, right? Well, they came to Jesus and they asked a question. They say, "Teacher, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" For the big people, you can also find the same story in another two places. But let's just carry on. And the other thing is, at that time, what is that time? All right. So some of you might want to check it out. Basically, Jesus has just earlier told all his disciples that they're heading to Jerusalem, and something is going to happen to him. People are going to catch him. They're going to torture him. He's going to suffer. They're going to put him to death. And then Jesus says, "But I'm going to come back to life." But I think the disciples only remember the part where Jesus is going to die. And they say, "Oh no, you're going to die? What's going to happen?" So they were very sad. And just before this incident too, Jesus took three of his disciples. They went up a mountain and something happened to Jesus. He got his glory back, like he shone like the sun, scripture said. And Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus, and Peter, James, and John saw that, and they were kind of scared, and they were excited, anyway, and they heard the voice of God saying, "This is my son, whom I love, you listen to him." So that's all at that time, and so at that time, the disciples asked Jesus this question: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Or as the New Living Translation said, in the Luke 9 version, they were arguing about who's going to. Hey, they say, "Wait a minute, if Jesus is going to die, if teacher's going to die, then who's going to be in charge of this group? It must be Peter, right? No, Peter got in trouble too. Jesus also scolded Peter many times. Oh, maybe it's James and John. They're kind of quiet, but Jesus kind of liked them. Maybe it's Judas. You know why? Judas takes care of all the money. So people trust him. He's the smartest, actually. So it must be Judas. And so no, it must be Matthew. Do you know what Matthew gave up? He was a tax collector. He was so rich. He was bad, but he was rich. And he gave all of that up. Anyway, they were arguing. They were arguing. They were comparing to see who's going to take over, who's going to be number one. Sounds familiar? They were comparing. Like, I should be the leader because I'm... finished the sentence, and all of that. They were proud. They were proud. They were comparing. They were competing. And what was Jesus' answer? Jesus answered was, he didn't answer right away. they were in a house, actually, and Jesus brought a little child. And actually, we think a little child must be a toddler, okay? A little child. And Jesus put this little child in the middle of all these grown men, his disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child. Do you imagine, how do you imagine this happen? Jesus is going to wave a magic wand and go, ding, and then you shrink and you become like, you know. What's Jesus talking about? Because Jesus, unless you change and become like this toddler before you, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, very interesting. Is Jesus answering their question? They ask what? Who is number one in heaven? And Jesus says, wait a minute, before you ask that question, make sure you can get to heaven. And the kind of people who will go to heaven are someone like this little child. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus, first things first. And so in another translation, it says, unless you turn, because that word means you turn, you change your direction, all right? You're going this way, unless you change your direction. And they say, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus told them. Now, let me ask, what's a toddler like? I mean, I was going to demonstrate this because a toddler is someone who's 12 to 36 months, and I know we have toddlers here, right? I was going to ask them to demonstrate because the word toddler comes from toddle, and I was going to ask the toddler to demonstrate, like short, abrupt steps, like when they're learning to walk, but then I realized, what if the toddler really fall here and start crying? Then Pastor Dave's in big, big trouble. Right, right. So if they fall, I'll be, you know. So I said, all right, anyway, I figure you probably can imagine how a toddler toddle, and that's where the word toddler comes from, all right? What's so special about little kids, about toddlers? That doesn't mean they're saints, right? Those of you who know. I mean, they're very cute, but they've got their own mind. So what is it, what qualities about a toddler is Jesus referring to that will get all of us to heaven? Well, a toddler is what you see is what you get. They are very comfortable with themselves. They have not learned to be embarrassed and hide stuff. What you see is what you get. Someone said they are very comfortable with their smallness. They are not afraid to ask questions. Right? Everything is new. So they ask, why is the sky blue? And all kinds of hard questions. You know, why does it not stop raining? Why does it rain so much? And all that. Why do we have to go to church so early? Anyway, not early. But and as someone says, small is an invitation to participate in something much bigger. See, they are very at home with their smallness. What you see is what you get. And they have this childlike trust. They believe just about, well, actually they're smarter sometimes, but normally they believe everything. That's why we shouldn't trick them all the time, right? Because they're very trusting. And they believe that mom and dad will take care of them and even some big people, and that's why sometimes we teach them, don't trust anyone, don't talk to strangers. But normally, they're very trusting. And they, if you tell them it's wrong, they believe you normally until they start fighting back, right? So, and they have this love that's just kind of gushing out, right? You smile at them, they smile back, and that's many of you who likes to borrow toddlers and babies because they just have so much love, so no hesitation, no suspicion, and that's why it's so good to spend time with them for a little bit, right? At least some of you have that choice. And toddlers, they brutally, totally honest, right? Why do you have this? Why do you smell? Like, or why do you smell? Anyway, they just say things like it is. They haven't learned to be polite, so to speak. And so those are some of the qualities we need to really come to God. Because when God says, you are wrong, you're heading the wrong direction, say, okay, I believe you. Turn back, okay, right? That's the childlike qualities, all right? And such childlike qualities are needed for us to enter into a relationship with God, young or old, right? And so Jesus says, unless you turn around, right, change, or turn from your sins, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, then Jesus now answers their question. Says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child before them is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Another way of saying it is that anyone who humbles, becomes as humble as a little child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's Jesus' answer. And we want to think a little bit about this, right? So who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, can I ask you? The one who is the most humble. And the one who is most like a toddler. All right, so to become like a little child, I think this verse in Philippians 2, which Pastor Michael shared with the big people a few weeks ago, is very, very helpful. So why don't we read this? How do we learn to become like a child? Let's read together. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. That's the way to be humble. That's how Jesus taught it. If you want to be great in God's sight, do those things. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Just be yourself. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Okay? Now, before we go to the next part, we're going to sing a song. I'm going to get some help from some of these people here. Okay, go ahead.
And again, we're going to invite all the kids to come to the front for the song. It's an action song. And it's the other action song.
Can we ask the congregation to please rise as well and follow along as our kids lead us through the actions? Please be seated.
This next part, I'm going to watch a story, listen to a story, and before we do that, I will let you know that after we watch this story and enjoy it together, I want you to discuss it with your family or the people around you, okay? And before that, I have a few questions to ask before we watch this story. Have you ever done something because you were proud? You don't have to answer that. Just think about that. Or have you ever done something because you were afraid of what people might think of you? Okay? So as you're thinking about that, I want us to enjoy the story called The Emperor's New Clothes. So enjoy.
There was once a vain emperor who just loved clothes. More than ruling his land wisely, he seemed interested only in changing into a new suit every hour. He would visit the theater and go out in his carriage so that the people would get to see his new suits every day. How he loved to show off his new clothes to all the people. Instead of discussing with his ministers the state of the kingdom, he was more interested in their opinion of his clothes.
So, my dear ministers, what do you think of my new dress? Isn't it better than the one I wore yesterday?
Your Majesty, it is absolutely wonderful. What a beautiful design.
The stories of the Emperor's love for clothes spread far and wide and reached the ears of two scoundrels. The cunning fellows landed up at the Emperor's court one day and asked to meet the Emperor.
And what work do you have with the Emperor? He is a busy man and cannot be meeting everyone.
Oh, we are very fine weavers, sir, and we can weave clothes like none other in the kingdom. We have heard that the Emperor loves clothes and have come to make him a suit with our beautiful cloth.
The Emperor has got so many suits made of so many different cloths. What is so different in your cloth?
Well, you see, our cloth is so light and delicate that it is almost invisible. In fact, it is visible only to those who are fit to do the jobs they are doing, and fools most certainly cannot see our cloth.
When the courtier heard this, he rushed to tell the emperor about this amazing new cloth that the two weavers were talking about.
Fools cannot see it, you say, and it's invisible to those not suited for their jobs. This I must see. Go fetch them immediately. If what they say is true, then I will know who among my ministers and courtiers should be removed from their posts.
The courtier ran to bring the two weavers to the emperor.
Come on, you two. The emperor shall see you now, and your cloth better be as good as you claim it to be.
The two weavers were presented before the emperor, where he sat with his ministers.
So, you weave a special cloth, is it?
Yes, Your Majesty. It is a cloth that none other can weave.
Very well. You will be provided with everything you need, and you must spin this cloth here in the palace. Here's a bag of gold to start with, and you can ask for anything else you might want.
Of course, Your Majesty. We will spin the cloth here and make the most splendid suit for you, a suit which no one would have ever seen.
The Emperor ordered two looms to be set up in a room. The weavers asked for golden thread and the finest of silks, all of which they hid away in their bags and pretended to be working away at the looms. In the meanwhile, the emperor was getting more and more curious to know what the weavers were doing and decided to send his trusted minister to have a look.
Minister, you are one of my most senior ministers. And among the most sensible, so I know I can trust you and your judgment. I want you to go and look at the cloth the weavers are weaving and let me know how it's coming along. The other ministers might not be able to see the cloth. You understand.
Of course, Your Majesty. I know exactly what you were trying to say.
So the minister went to the room where the weavers were busy working.
Oh, come in, sir. Have a look at this beautiful and intricate design we have woven. And the colours, look how vibrant they are. Don't you like it, sir? We have worked really, really hard.
Yes. I have never seen such beautiful workmanship. I must tell the Emperor. Carry on making the wonderful material.
And sir, could you please make arrangements for some more gold thread and silk to be provided?
Yes, of course. Good heavens, I cannot admit to anyone that I cannot see anything. Are my spectacles not right, or am I an idiot not fit to do my job?
The minister went back to the Emperor, having decided to not mention that he could see no cloth being woven. After so many years of serving the Emperor, he did not want it to be known that he was not suited for his job. No, that would never do.
Well, Minister, what do you think of the cloth those weavers are working on?
Oh, Your Majesty, I don't have words to describe it. The colors and design are like nothing I have ever seen.
It is that good, is it? Do you think I should wear a suit of that cloth to the grand procession I shall be leading soon?
Of course, Your Majesty. Everyone will be looking at you.
The weavers continued pretending to work on the looms. They asked for more gold thread and more of the finest silk available, and of course, put all this away in their bags. They asked for more candles, pretending to work late into the night. Their scissors went snip, snip, snip in the air, needles weaving in and out of imaginary cloth with no threads in them. After some time, the Emperor again grew curious about the new cloth the weavers were weaving.
Well, I think tomorrow I shall go and see the suit for myself. Everyone seems to be praising it so much. I can't wait to see it for myself.
The next day, the Emperor went to the room where the weavers were pretending to be busy weaving. Up and down their hands flew, while their eyes were fixed on the looms, concentrating so hard on the imaginary cloth.
Oh, Your Majesty, we have been waiting to show you your new suit. It is so beautiful. Even better than we had expected. People will be talking of nothing but your suit at the procession. Here, have a look at the jacket and the trousers. I am sure they will fit your majesty like a second skin. And the cloak. Isn't it magnificent? They are all so light and fragile, like a spider's web.
The Emperor looked hard, but he could see nothing.
I am the Emperor of the land, and if I say I cannot see anything, my people will think I'm not fit to rule them. That cannot happen.
For fear of being considered a fool, the Emperor also went along with what the others had said and greatly admired the suit. The day of the procession, the weavers pretended to help the Emperor wear the suit, pretending to handle it very carefully.
Come, Your Majesty, stand before this mirror. Here, please wear the jacket and trousers.
The weavers pretended to make the Emperor wear the jacket and trousers. They pretended to nip the trousers in a little at the waist, straighten out the collar of the jacket, and make some other adjustments. They then stood back to admire their handiwork.
Ah, that is a wonderful fit. Don't you think so, Your Majesty? And the colors look so good on you. Now let me adjust the cloak. There, that's done. What do you have to say, Your Majesty?
Well, I must say you have done a great job. Like you say, it's an excellent fit, and the design and colors are outstanding.
The Emperor stood in front of the mirror, and though he could still not see any clothes, he pretended to admire them and himself while striking different poses before the mirror.
Well, Your Majesty, it is time for you to make an appearance and lead the procession.
The courtier came forward and pretended to hold the long train and followed the Emperor out. All the people in the land had heard about the magical quality of the suit and were waiting curiously and impatiently to see the Emperor wearing it. Finally, when the Emperor made an entry, the crowd became absolutely silent on seeing him. And then suddenly, the voice of a small child was heard.
Oh, he's wearing nothing!
all the people then started shouting, saying,
"He is wearing nothing!
He is wearing nothing!
He is wearing nothing!"
The emperor was extremely embarrassed. He now understood how the two weavers had made a fool of him, as well as his ministers and courtiers. All he could do was lead the procession as he was, with as much dignity as he could. The weavers, of course, had already escaped with all the gold, thread, and silks the emperor had given them, and were never seen or heard of again.
The end. Did you enjoy that story? Yeah. So now, just for a few minutes, with your family around you or the people around you, just talk a little bit about this, all right? Did you like the story? If you did, why? If you didn't like it, why not? Why was the little boy not afraid to say, "Oh, he's wearing nothing"? Yeah, why was that? And what have you learned from the story about humility? Okay, so give you a couple minutes. Talk to your family or people around you, all right? Humble in the story. Who's anyone who's humble in the story? The boy. The kids. Very smart. Wonder if that's how advertising works. Huh? Charge you more, you're getting a better thing. Then you're getting a better thing. That's why it takes a little kid, huh? To break the, keep going. Oh, well, I'm glad you're having good discussion. I mean, it's not conventional, but any groups wants to share what some of the interesting things you talked about? You just have to shout it out. Anything you want to share? Everyone's shy. Who is the What do we learn about humility in this story? Maybe not exactly, but we see the opposite of humility, which is being proud. And I wonder if advertising still works like that today. You know, but anyway, so you can continue this discussion, and I'm glad you have. But this is basically what we want to encourage to do, want each other to do in our homes. Talk about some of the things, the news, the things happening, and relate it to some of the things God is teaching us. So I'm going to end again. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so as we end, let's try to remind ourselves again. Maybe you will remember or you memorize already, but how do we become humble like a little child? Let's do this together. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you. You show us how it relates and applies to our everyday life, young or old, and thank you that you love us no matter what, and you just remind us that we need to turn back to you when we have walked away. Thank you for loving us so much. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all rise as we respond with, "Lord, be glorified."
Be seated.